Okay, go to Matthew. 28.
Okay, roll 8.
In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Now this is both happening in, this happened in time, and it happened out of time. Now the first day of the week is the eighth day. It's the eighth day, the resurrection. Eight is always symbolic of resurrection. Understand? Some of you have been living for a long time now in the seventh day. You've been reasonably at rest. But now it's time for a new thing to take place. And this follows on what I talked to you about the last time we met, that it's finished. Now all of the life of the natural, the 7 days of the week, the rest, is over. I know you didn't get a chance to enjoy the rest very long, since from Tuesday till now, but it's now time for a different thing to take place. Now it's time, even in the Sabbath, even in the seventh day, the rest took place, it's only death. In the spiritual sense, the 6 days, the 7 days of the natural week are all death. Understand me? Mm-hmm. Okay, now it's time to kick ass. The eighth day has begun. Understand? And the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, as it began to dawn, take heed. All of you have taken heed to the light shining in the dark place. All this time. It says, take heed until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Well, now it's the dawn. Fish? Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. The only one that can see, the first one to see, is the whore. All of you know you've been whoring all your life. You're going someplace other than the covenant for your sustenance. You've been going places other than that which is life, that which is the Father, for your sustenance. Emotional, physical, intellectual. You've been whores. Some of you are really bad whores. Not bad in terms of nasty, bad in terms of stupid. If you were nasty, it'd be all right. But you as whores haven't been like the normal whores downtown, because they get paid for their services. You've been running around paying your lovers. Understand? So you're a stupid whore.
Don't look at her, she came in.
This is called shame.
She's ready to speak.
She can't believe her uncle is talking like this.
Right.
He's only talking about whores.
But it was the whore that came to the tomb first. And behold, there was a great earthquake. And the earthquake, everything is shaken in your earth, so that only that which is unshakable can remain. Got it? And the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. every evil thing that has happened to you in your lifetime that you've perceived as evil. That you've perceived as, oh shit. That you've perceived as that which is causing you the worst heartache possible. And the Spirit is the angel from heaven that is rolling away the stone from the door. No matter how that process hurt, and no matter how ugly to your senses that person or situation looked like, in the Spirit, his countenance was as lightning and his raiment white as snow. You understand? Mm-hmm. So the dawning of the eighth day has required the first of all that you recognize yourself as a bad and stupid whore. And you recognize another interesting thing, and that is that you have to see your enemies and those that you believe have done you wrong as that angel from heaven whose countenance is as white as snow and has the face of all beauty and lightning. Because without them, you could not have seen, no matter how evil they appeared to you. And this is true in every step of your past. Mm-hmm. You understand me?
Amen.
And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead. Now the keepers of that stone have been your mother, your father, your children, your brothers, your sisters, your friends, your work, your life, your activity, they have all been the keepers of that door to make sure that it wasn't rolled away. And now great fear has descended upon them, and they became as dead men. Understand? Nothing else is going on in your life. This is the one drama that's taking place. It's the cosmic drama. The only thing that's truly taking place in time and space. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear ye not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. Remember the Greeks? Sir, I would see Jesus. Who in the hell is this Jesus? You don't know anything about him. All that you know is that he is the desired one. He's not some religious image that you've worshipped and played with all your life. You didn't desire that anyway. You just thought you should desire it. He is the desired of your heart. And he's not here after the senses. For he is risen. To the senses he has no form nor comeliness. And when you see him, there is no beauty that you should desire him. He won't meet any of your needs after your understanding. He won't make your life happy and sweet and wonderful because he's not interested in it. He's only interested at this point when the keepers of your door are as dead men. You got it? He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you. Now, where is Galilee? Galilee is their home. They've been running all over the place trying to find him. But he's where they are. He's where you are.
Promised land was found.
Amen. They departed quickly from the sepulcher. By God in heaven, it's time for you to depart from the sepulcher. He's not among the dead. He's not among the dead of your doorkeepers and all your stupid value systems and images and ideas. Go quickly from the sepulcher. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy.
Strange combination.
And did run to bring his disciples word. The whore ran to the disciples. The whores who told the disciples. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. And then Jesus said unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole away him while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you, protect you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. It's commonly reported among all men that what we believe in is a fable. Because all men believe that God helps those that help themselves, because he really isn't risen. All men believe, all religion believes that you've got to do something, because he really isn't risen. If he's risen, he's only risen up there somewhere, and he's going to come back, and you can tell it someday. But no one believes that he's risen in you, and therefore you put away all. Divorce all, save him. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. If it wouldn't have been for Paul, that's all we would have known. If Paul wouldn't have clarified where he was resurrected, this is all we would have known. And you would have been like all the other religions. That you just try to worship and meet some standards of behavior. And try to have some image of what things might be someday. Well, hallelujah. It is clear from the rest of the scriptures and from my own experience. And there's at least two witnesses. That he is risen in you. Therefore, all power in heaven and on earth is given unto you. Go ye therefore and teach. Again, you've heard me preach on this before, but that's in the aorist tense. in the Greek. And what it says is, as you go, therefore, teach, or the word is disciple. You can't do that until you know all power in heaven and earth is there. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you can just go out and make another stupid religion. All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach, or raise up, or disciple all nations or people, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, when Jesus talked of baptizing, when he was baptizing Jews, they were only baptized in Jesus' name. Why? Because the Jews had already been baptized in the name of the Father and the name of the Holy Ghost. When he's baptizing Gentiles, you baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Understand? Now, to baptize someone, there's a whole bunch of stuff, folks. You can't, to baptize means to bury. You can't bury them unless they know they're dead. So to say that I am going to baptize means that I must preach the cross. That you were crucified, that you have been living a lie all these years. And that the only thing you do then is you bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. That's all you have to do. And in that environment, a covenant will be established. Because not of you, because you are sharers in the one common covenant. And you will lay down your life for the brethren. You can do nothing else. Because by the law, by his act, just as God is obligated to treat you as his own flesh, so now you are obligated. Not, that's the wrong word. You are compelled to treat brethren as your own flesh. Therefore, it becomes impossible for you to seek your own. It's not you shouldn't seek your own. When you see the covenant, it's impossible for you to seek your own. Why? Because God is worrying about you. I mean, you'd be kind of stupid to take you away from God so that you can seek your own. And the fruit of that is the automatic of laying down your life. Laying down your life simply means that I prefer your interests over mine. That's not done as a should or an ought to. If it was a should or an ought to, I would have failed 10,000 times. Instead of 9,999 times. You understand me? I don't think any of you doubt that I love you. I doubt if you have spent more time, especially people like Judy, who were young when they came here, that with me, I mean, it's unbelievable that you've spent 10 years hearing me talk 6 days a week, or whatever it is. I mean, it's impossible. You know every flaw that I have, I know every flaw that you have. You don't have to meet some imagined standard with me, and I don't have to meet some imagined standard with you. That's what it is. And that's why go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them. Now, you see the secret of the baptism now. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Well, that now, you can't do that until you know that there are three witnesses in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. There are three witnesses in earth, and they agree as one. There are three witnesses in earth, in you, in earth. The water, the blood, and the Spirit. They agree in one. Until you know what that means, you can't baptize anyone. To baptize simply means that you plug in that plug so that all power in heaven is plugged in to all power in the earth. Just plugging in the electric, the current. That's what baptize means. You understand me? It's not some ceremonial act that you do. Go dunk somebody. Or sprinkle them. Then teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. How in the hell are you going to do that? God, therefore, I got to start getting some law. Teaching them to observe. The word observe is the same word used for obey. Teaching them that I am in all things. In other words, that the to observe him in all things means that you teach everyone that they are to hear under, that they know that whatever condition they find themselves, it's the Father. That everything that has happened to them to bring them to this point has been God. You understand me? And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That's the Great Commission. As you go into your world, God has established the bounds of your habitation. As you go into your world, you no longer see spirit and secular, or religious and world. You see only Him, because He's established all the bounds. How do you make a disciple? You say what you believe. You believe, therefore you speak. You don't go try to do it. As you go, I mean, you're not, don't make some plan. But don't make some not plan.
Don't plan not to do anything. That's a plan too. Yeah.
You just be you.
That last night in talking, the believe, therefore you speak has always troubled me because I always had it plugged into doctrine. As soon as I believe, then I will speak doctrine. And I saw last night that if you believe doctrine, then you'll speak whatever's in you, not some formula for salvation.
Amen.
You'll be who you are.
Yeah.
Period.
You go to Mark 16. Verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them. What do you think upbraided means?
Chewed their ass.
Chewed on a little bit. Matthew,
I think you showed them. Yeah, well, it says Mark. With their unbelief. I think you just. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mark 16. Oh. 14.
Mark 16, verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11. This is another account. This is Mark's account of what we just read in Matthew. You understand that? Same thing. Same. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as he sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. Now there's a great controversy among religious types that say that Mark 16:9-20 was not in the Bible. And it doesn't matter or not. I mean, it's, but because they go through that, because it's a, this, these, and you'll see why. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, I don't want to get into a theological discussion with you about all that. I just want you to know for a moment that this, it says, these signs shall follow, not lead. What?
Well, just it'll follow.
What that means is, well, let's go to 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Now, what does that mean? He that believeth. The word for believe and the word for faith in the Greek is the same one. It's pistis. He that is in faith, pistis, shall be saved. He that is without faith, or apistis, shall be damned. That's what it says throughout the whole Bible. Faith or no faith. Faith or no faith. There are no degrees of.
It's polar opposites.
You can't be a little bit. Well, then how come all he says is that if you have the faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to that mountain, be cast into the stone. That means they just got a little bit of faith. No. It means that if you know who you are, as the mustard seed knows who it is, total faith. Well, it says to every man is given a measure of faith. No, it says to every man is given the measure of faith. Faith is a dime a dozen. Every man has faith. The only question is, where is the faith directed? To baptize, you have to believe and be baptized. It's pistis and baptism. Why? Because baptism means your death and burial, and therefore the faith by definition has to be in the right direction. I spent most of my life having all kinds of faith in myself. I had pistis. But it was in the wrong direction. I believed, but what did I believe? It's faith without baptism. Faith without the cross. If you only have the cross without baptism, then you're going to lie around and stink a lot. But again, I say to you that as you go into your world, you believe, you speak, you make disciples. Because now for you, it is the eighth day. And it doesn't matter if there are, we're only two of us, or three of us. If three people on the face of the earth know it's the eighth day, you'll turn the world upside down. Now, God in his wisdom is testing us. The test first is all this stuff had to be first reworked out in a body because there's no Lone Rangers. Now it has to be worked out in you in a body. All power in heaven and earth has been delivered unto you. I have presented unto you the full counsel of God. There's no reason not to believe. There's no reason not to make disciples. You are automatically in a position where you will not be able to speak of anything unless it's been worked out in you. You'll be able to speak of it, but it'll have no power.
Yeah.
Paul said, I'm determined to speak of nothing save that which is worked out in me by Christ Jesus, or wrought in me by Christ Jesus. It wasn't an act of will, it was an act of recognition. Now, there's been sufficient work out in you to make disciples, every one of you. And that's where we are. All power in heaven and earth was delivered over to you. That doesn't look like it.
Driving around today and it dawned on me that it has been given to us to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And we just, it's such a simple thing, but the mysteries just unfold. They just, you got a question, the answer is given by God.
Amen.
He reveals his mysteries to us.
I was just thinking that where Paul said you're the epistles, you know, written with fleshy tables of the heart. I mean, to us, you have been an epistle. You've been a letter. And now?
Your letters. Amen.
It's God's postal system.
Anybody have anything else?
Well, I'm really thankful you talked about what you did earlier. You know, it's like having had no purpose and having purpose. Having all this within us and no place is
stupid.
Stupid.
It's like
a
full circle.
Amen.
Okay? I don't have anything else to say.
Well, that's what you said the other night, too.
I had an anxiety attack earlier because I was thinking of pressure. I was thinking of doing all these things, projecting, you know, working on books and all this kind of stuff going. And then my lily wife, Josanna, just reminded me that I don't have to worry about that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Besides, you get the money.
Dark.
Well, you get the money first. So.
Well, the money, it's time. I was worried about that money. I started taking myself a little bit seriously for a moment last night, and Denise slugged me in the stomach.
That's a good wife.
That's a good
one.
Innocent me.
Okay, thank you, big guy.